Thursday, August 13th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 1 with a message titled, Blessed is That Man.
Look at verse 1 with me for a minute. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. Now, the first thing that you'll notice here, if you read through the course of the psalm, is that a great contrast is taking place in this psalm. It's an amazing contrast between two men, two paths, one that ends in life and the other that ends in eternal death.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Psalm 1, this morning, Psalm 1, we're going to consider together. Let us give our attention to the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. I will never forget, as I was training and preparing for ministry, that I had many pastors who were great encouragements to me along the way, and one that I really respected came to me one time and said, Chris, your greatest challenge in the ministry will be to communicate the truth of God's word and his gospel in a clear and meaningful and helpful way to God's people. Your old Pastor Kaminga used to say to me, Chris, this preaching is tough business, tough business. As I have done this now for 8 years, I realize that it seems to only be getting harder. Nothing easy about preaching and what we do. And it goes to show that we as pastors need your prayers, that you would ask the Lord to bless us so that we in turn would be a blessing to you. That's the goal here, and that's tonight's sermon, so don't miss it. But I think the heart of this struggle of properly preaching the Word, properly preaching the Gospel, is really illustrated for us in Psalm 1, a psalm that is called the Gateway of the Whole Psalter, and that's a really important thing to observe. It just goes without saying that if you mess this psalm up, you're going to mess the whole Psalter up. It's a very important psalm to understand. What do I mean? Psalm 1 begins with pronouncing and describing blessings on the man who doesn't walk in sin. And then, of course, if you were to go through the whole course of the Psalter and then you come to the last psalm and the very last sentence of the last psalm, Psalm 150, you end with, it's saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So Psalm 1 begins with a man who does not walk in sin. Instead, he keeps God's law, and then it climbs and it climbs and it climbs, and it says, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What would be my temptation as a preacher, beginning then with Psalm 1? Think about it. Pretty easy. We all know Psalm 1. It's probably a favorite of many of you. But how do you read Psalm 1? I could level you today as a pastor. Your natural approach of reading Psalm 1 would be something like this, wouldn't it? You would put a big conditional clause at the front of this thing. If. You would put a big if right in front of it and say, if I meditate on God's law day and night, if I don't walk in sin, then I will be the blessed man of this psalm. That's our natural way of reading it, isn't it? That's how we approach this. That's how I've heard it. In my whole life, that's how I've heard this psalm preached. There's truth to that in a general way. We'll come back to that. But is that what this psalm is saying to us? That's what I want to ask the question this morning. What is this psalm saying to us? How is this psalm being presented to us? If you are struggling with sin, is this how I preach it? If you're struggling with sin, you're getting beat with sin, you're not reading God's Word enough, then you're probably not going to be blessed. Is that how I should read this? Is that how you should read this? I would be really effective this morning at preaching it that way. I would be really effective at preaching it that way, and I would make all of you wonder, you would all leave with a great question mark, you would all wonder if you're not blessed because who am I? Where do I stand? No doubt, the question of the psalm is, which man are you? Did you notice there's two men presented in this psalm? There is a good man and there is an evil man. And by the time this is done, I want you to think about really clearly which one I identify with and how I become this blessed man. I mean, that's obviously got to be where this psalm is taking us. Look at verse 1 with me for a minute. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. Now, the first thing that you'll notice here, if you read through the course of the psalm, is that a great contrast is taking place in this psalm. It's an amazing contrast between two men, two paths, one that ends in life and the other that ends in eternal death. And this is not an uncommon sort of contrast to us. The Bible is absolutely full of passages that tell us that everyone in this life, no matter who they are heading down one path or another. And by the end of this psalm, these two paths are completely separated from one another. One ends in the bliss of heaven, the other ends in the peril of torment. So here it is, from the beginning, two ways outlined. Proverbs will even go on to say there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, gave all sorts of these contrasts, saying at one point, enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through that, but narrow is the way, and small is the way that leads to life, and there are a few who find that. In one sermon, you ever think about how prevalent this contrast is? In one sermon on the Mount, you have two gates, two roads, two trees, a good and a bad one, each bearing two very different kinds of fruit. One who ends up building their house on the rock, and the other who ends up building their house on sand, both which have final consequences to each. The Lord would say this often to Israel, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. All over the Bible. One path this way, another path that way. So we come to the question of the psalm, and I suppose that a really good question at this point is, which path am I on? Which path are you on? Or better, which man are we? Which man are we? Now, I said a minute ago, my first response to this, my first way of preaching this is to ask the question here, have I loved God's law? Because isn't that the emphasis? Have I loved God's law? Has God's law really been something that I meditate on day and night? And my natural response to this is, well, you know, I'm going to do better. I'm going to go home after this sermon, and we should. And I'm going to really work on getting into God's law more, and I'm going to meditate on it day and night. And I go a little further with this psalm, And then I see, wow, he meditates on God's law, but there's a really powerful section here that this man does not sin. So I've got now an additional challenge. I need to read God's law more, and I need to stop sinning if I'm going to be the blessed man of this psalm. And that goes on for a bit in my life, right? We all have these moments where we get challenged. Well, I just feel guilty. I need to be in God's word more, and I need to fight against my sin more. Amen. And then what happens? Discouragement. And you go for a little while, and then lo and behold, not too long, you're back into mediocrity, aren't you? And you're sick of that. And I'm sick of that. I'm tired of how little I give to the Lord. I'm tired and I'm weary of how little my devotion is. I'm sick of fighting against the same old sins. And I'm really starting to struggle as I look at Psalm 1. I'm getting beat down a little bit. Because if I put a big if in front of this, I'm starting to see I'm in a little bit of trouble. But I'm still with this question. Well, which man am I here? Because I'm seeing something about this psalm. The psalm begins with the word blessed, blessed. It's an amazing word. It's a beautiful word. It could be translated, oh, the blessedness of the man, that man. And it's interesting because where do you find the big if here? It's not there. What essentially you have here is a pronouncement, and it's not saying you will be blessed if, it's doing something that is very unique to understanding the whole Psalter and the way that even Jesus would give the Beatitudes, didn't he? The psalm goes like this. Let me introduce you to a man like you've never known. He's the ultimate man. Look at his life. Don't you envy it? Don't you want it? Meet the man who enters into God's presence. Meet the man, the man. And he has total assurance of entering into the bliss of heaven. He does not sin. It doesn't even start down the path. He doesn't stand in it. He doesn't fall into it. But instead, God's law, there is never a point, notice the all-inclusiveness of this, there is never a point that he does not meditate on it and do it day and night. Let me introduce you to the man. Let me introduce you to the ultimate man, the paradigm man, the man whom, wow. Now we're starting to get a sense of this psalm. Because when we look down at verse 4, and the contrast is set very starkly, very plainly. What do you read in verse 4? The wicked are not like this. Wicked's a good translation. It's a good word to use for that. But my tendency when I hear wicked is to think of all those bad guys out there collectively. And it is a collective sort of thing that's happening here. But we should probably retain the very plain meaning of this word, which means the guilty. Not so the guilty. They are not going to stand in God's judgment. Now I'm back to this question. You see, the problem has gotten a little worse at this. It's gotten worse at this point. Am I the blessed man or am I the guilty man of this psalm? And you see, how I answer that's going to affect how I preach it. Because if I'm going to stand up here and truly try to push you into being the blessed man, you're going to walk out of here and say, oh boy, I got a big list of things to keep up with. Right? So who is this? Who is this? The other night I asked this question in devotions to my son. And I said, son, I said, I read Psalm 1 and we talked about it. And I said, are you the good man or the bad man of this psalm? And he stands back and he says, Dad, I think I'm both. I think we're a little bit in the middle. And I actually really appreciated that response because at least according to our experience as people, our perspective, it does seem that way, doesn't it? It seems that, in general, people have a mixture of both good and bad in them. I mean, I look at my pagan neighbor down the street who will mow the lawn of the next-door neighbor, and I think, wow, you know, there's some good there. That's my kind of approach at looking at people. And my son was picking up on the natural way we read people, good and bad. But what's the problem? There's no middle ground here in this song. It's good and it's bad. So I went on a little further with him, and I pressed him. I said, well, do you really think we're both? No, Dad, we're bad. Boys and girls, this is why catechism is really important, by the way. Okay? What do we say in catechism? We say that we're all born in sin, corrupt from conception on. Where did this come from? Well, we confess, we say that in the first man, the first Adam, we all fell, and that in him we're the guilty, aren't we? And so the Bible tells us that everyone is represented in two ways in this life. There's really only two ways you can be represented, and the first is in that first Adam, which we all are. And what does the Scripture say about the first Adam? The Scripture says about the first Adam, all died and are guilty. Now the song begins with a man I've never known like this. In other words, meet God's blessed man who has never sinned and who always meditates on the law of God and does it. And I say, boys and girls, who is this? Is it so hard? Sometimes we're so afraid to say what is so plainly put in front of us, aren't we? Commentators today are wimps. Augustine used to say very clearly who this was. The old church fathers would say very clearly who this was. One pastor was speaking to a bunch of Jews and Arabs, and he read to them Psalm 1, and he asked the question, well, who is this man? And so they started going through their history, and one of them says, well, it can't, is it Abraham? It can't be Abraham. He dumped off his wife, and he wasn't a very good example. Was it Moses, the lawgiver? He said, no, Moses killed a guy. Was it David? Oh, it couldn't be David. Well, you know what David did. And one of the Jewish men rose up and he said, you know, I've been reading the New Testament, and if I believed it, I would have to say that the blessed man of Psalm 1 is Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible says that there are two men in history, the first Adam and the last Adam. And who is the last Adam? It's our Lord. And remember, Adam means man. So isn't it fitting that as we open up the beginning of the Psalter, the gateway to all the Psalms, in the very next Psalm we have introduced the character of this man, and in the very next Psalm we have introduced the man. Kiss the Son. This is the Son of God, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Meet my man, says the Lord. And now you're seeing the whole story. It would be really wrong for me today to begin with and stand up here and try to preach Psalm 1 and say, boy, are you the man? What's the answer? You're not. The fact is, I have not loved the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when I look over the course of the life of our Lord, who took on human flesh and became a man, what do we say about him? That he atoned for sin, that he reached death, and that upon rising, paying for our sins, what do we say? That he was buried, and what do we confess? We confess that he swallowed up death forever, that for the believer there's no more death. And then what do we confess? Is that even though death through the first man spread to everyone, that when this man represents those who believe, What happens to them? Now we can begin to understand this psalm a little bit differently. If I've answered the question, which man am I, and I've listened to the Lord, and I confess, I identify with the guilty man, it changes the question of the psalm for us this morning. What is the question of the psalm for us this morning? The question of the psalm is, how do I identify with this blessed man of Psalm 1? I want to be on his coattails. I want to be united to him. I want to know him. I've got this awful problem that I'm identified with the other man, and that path is taking me headlong right in on the fast track to hell, but I need to come and be a part of this man. I need the blessedness of this man. And you see, when we look at the whole of Scripture, we begin to see how wonderful the message of Christianity really is, isn't it? What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that if we have been united, joined together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of what? His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old Adam, our old man, was crucified with Him. Now what does it say? That the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So you know what that means? When I believe in this man, I'm united to him. I'm so united to him so that, as we looked at last time, when he died, I died. When he was buried, the old Adam was killed, I was buried. I'm so united to him by faith. So that now, as He has killed the old man of Psalm 1 for me, I am raised to become the blessed man of Psalm 1. It's a beautiful way of looking at the psalm and the right way to look at the psalm. And the Scriptures are always saying this to us when they say things like, blessed be the man, or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that what? We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And now the Lord calls us to consider that of ourselves, that we are the new man, dead to the old, but alive to the new. And by His power, I am, as the Scriptures call me to do, to put on the new man, which was created in true righteousness and holiness. So now we have a framework of looking at the psalm. Now we understand the psalm. That now, as I can understand, the New Testament Scriptures tell us my life is hidden with Christ in God, in that man. And the blessedness that we receive from Him is now restoring us. You know, the Christian life is a restoration.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us again next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.